I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Praise the Lord. You may be seated and grab your Bibles, if you would please, and turn not to 1 John. Hey, we spent several weeks in 1 John, and this is St. Patrick's Day, praise the Lord, so I don't have a St. Patrick's Day message either. Next week is, what is next week? Palm Sunday. Is that right? Did I get my calendar right? Next week is Palm Sunday. So I told you to open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Sunday after that is Easter Sunday. I can't believe we're marching right into this. And indeed, Easter is in March this year. And so we're going to be in the book of Joshua in chapter 1 today. And I do have an outline to follow, so appreciate again that we could get out on time if I have an outline to follow. So that's the theory anyway. Joshua chapter 1. I already have an outline because this was preached by Dr. Norris from Franklin Road Baptist Church, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, home of Dr. Lee Robinson, who had his part in starting this here church, Good Samaritan Baptist Church, praise the Lord. So anyway, Joshua chapter 1, his title and my title as well today is that you've only got one job, do it right, okay? I don't know if you've ever been told that. My dad would say, I sent you out to the barn to do one job, and you should be able to get that done right, okay? And so here we're going to look at one job that we've got and look at the charge that's given to Joshua here in this chapter. And then we'll make application and go to lunch. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 1. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Appreciate each one being here. Appreciate each one having a Bible. And appreciate again that we could read into God's holy word. That's what makes the difference in our lives. Joshua chapter 1, you follow along as I'd read the first nine verses here of Joshua and chapter 1. Bible says, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses's minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river and the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7 again says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Let's read verses 8 and 9 together. I trust they're familiar to you. Good memory verses for us. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, aloud and together, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Father, praise you for your word. Thank you for the strength and encouragement that it gives believers here again 3,000 years after Joshua went in and fulfilled your great promises. Thank you again, Father, for the charge that was given to him, and to understand again that this is a charge that's given to us even today for our walk with you, for walking in this promised land. And Father, we'll praise you again and thank you now for your hand on your word, that it not return void, that it would be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that it discern our thoughts and intents, and that it would frame up our week a little differently so that we could walk in pleasing to you and in praising your name. Well, thank you. Help us with the one job you've given us. And may we again be about your business. We'll give you all the praise for your touch on this morning in the name of Christ. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I appreciate, again, this text. Appreciate going down to Capital Connection this week. We missed our Wednesday night prayer time for my attendant down there. The messages on Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night were just superb again, and to set your heart on fire. The theme down there was the gospel is God's blessing. The gospel is God's blessing. I wrote that down someplace. The gospel that blessed America. There it is. The gospel that blessed America. And so, again, going down to Capital Connection, Tracy went back way down in the 1900s. No, when was that? That was 2018. And then we went down in COVID, right? Weren't we down to Capital Connection for COVID? And the day we left, they shut down Washington, D.C., because of COVID in 2022, I guess that was. And so we've been down there a couple times, and what a blessing. And listen, their purpose is not to change Washington. I like that. Their purpose is not to get any laws in place. Their purpose is not to petition any of the senators, any of the congressmen that they talk to. The purpose of that is to preach the gospel to every creature included in the halls of Washington, D.C. And so what a tremendous thing, again, and to be part of that this week, even though it was virtual again, it was a tremendous blessing. And so I want to share with you this message that came out of the Tuesday night of preaching. Tuesday night, again, who preached Tuesday night? Was Brother Tim Young preached again out of Psalm chapter 44, the Hezekiah's plight and his asking for God's help. And we're in the same boat. We need God's help to accomplish again. So Brother Tim Young, again, what a blessing again to preach down there Tuesday night. And then Dr. David Gibbs came on. He was online. He just got out of the hospital with COVID. and was not able to travel, and so he didn't make it to Washington, but came online and preached to us for a couple minutes and said, God's not given you a promise of victory, but he has told you to stand. Okay, we're not told to be victorious. We're told to stand and let God determine where the victories are or aren't again. And then, preacher of Franklin Road Baptist Church, preacher after that, on this message, listen, you've got one job to do. And so I want to rehearse some of the things that was said there again and be an encouragement to each of us. In doing that, again, I want us to begin over here in the book of, let's do that backwards. That would be good. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Let's look at our one job that we're given. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We all know what that says, I think. We've been there on several occasions. Acts in chapter 1 and verse 8. Before I preach this, I like to give, as an old man, I'd like to give advice, okay? And so I got three pieces of advice to give. Let me do the third first, because that's what I'm preaching on, is to do right. To do right. And that's important here again. And we're going to look at, again, what we need as believers to do right, even from the commission that's given to us here. Five times a commission is given us, four Gospels, and here in the book of Acts for the fifth time. So we need to do right. My other two pieces of advice is, number one, eat right. It's amazing how much we don't eat right. Again, we was at a birthday party, I said yesterday, and saw a lot of people eating a lot of strange things, and I was just still amazed at how many people drink diet soda. I preach against diet soda, and I still preach against diet soda. Anytime you put exotic chemicals into your body, don't think you're going to get away with it. And so if your exotic chemicals are in some kind of a diet soda, and they put fake sugar in there made out of a test tube, don't think you're going to get away with that. There's going to be a price you pay for dumping chemicals in your body. Eat right. Eat right here in my note says no pills, no artificials, and no drugs. And so eat right. Number two is clean right. Let's be cleanly. Cleansly. What do they say is next to godliness? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Grandma taught us that. So clean up right. It doesn't behoove us to... It behooves us old people, again. Once you have folds of fat that need washed under, you need to take a shower every day. So that's just for obese people here again. But again, to understand that we need to clean up good. And then last, do right. And I bring them up here because I also have a parallel that we could take all of them in the mental aspect and say, hey, we need to eat right what's going in our mind. Secondly, we need to clean up our mind right, clean things up in our mind. And thirdly, we need to do right in our mind. We could take it on a spiritual plane and say, hey, you need to eat right on a spiritual plane. What you're taking in, again, the spiritual word of God, regular as food, daily bread, as it were. We need to clean right, and this book will clean us. And lastly, we need to do right. And so this message here is having to do with doing right. You've got one job to do as a Christian. Let's make sure we do it right. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's talking to the disciples. They're gathered together here with him on the 40th day. He's about to ascend up into heaven, and he gives them this parting direction, and he says, you shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses. I like that word shall. That's a legal term. It's not will. Will means you might have something to do with your will. Shall means it's set down in law. It's going to happen again. And so, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. Now listen, I want to take that shall right there and say, hey, you shall be witnesses. The question is, are you going to be the right witness or the wrong witness? You're going to be a witness you received Christ as your Savior, if it was real, listen, then we ought to again be witnesses of the change that was brought into our life. And so here we have this commission that's given. I said this is a backwards list because I'm going Acts and walking through backwards. And notice here that we are to be witnesses. He's commissioned. He's told us that. Back up and look at another one in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John in chapter 20, I think. In verse 21, it's either 21:20 or 20:21. Let's go with 20:21. John chapter 20 and 21. And notice here again, we have, this is an ongoing repetition of a commission that we as believers are given. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. Watch this. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And so, again, we are to be sent. As the Father was sent the Son into the world, you are sent into this world. And that means we ought to be witnesses as we're commissioned in Acts 1:8. Look at verse 22 while we're here. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's kind of a taste of what we have indwelling us, the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Indwells us. And that's where the power comes from. Look at verse 23. Is the purpose. Whosoever. Is that two words? I love the whosoever's in the Bible. I guess this isn't one of them. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. But whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And so, three things in there. One, that we are sent by Christ to be witnesses. Secondly, we'll have power to do that. Thirdly, again, we're going to have the power to be ministers of reconciliation and have sins removed by our testimony. Let's look at Luke. Luke, following these, the Great Commission backwards, Luke in chapter 24, verse 46, says this, and he said unto them, I'm in Luke chapter 24, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. Looking at the commission eight times, back up to Mark. Let's look at it in the book of Mark in chapter 16. And verse 15 says this, and he said unto them, go ye. Anytime you see a ye, it's plural. Anytime it's got a Y, like any y'alls, it's a y'all, okay? It's plural. Go thee would be singular. And so this is go y'all, okay? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to... Mine says every creature. Is that what your Bible says? Don't miss any, okay? And I'll tell you what, there are some creatures out there, okay? And we're not to miss any. And so here's our commission out of backwards Acts, John, Luke, Mark. Let's turn to Matthew and look with me at chapter 28. Matthew in chapter 28. Again, this is a formal commission, what we call the Great Commission. I encourage you in the margin of your Bible to write down all those references I just read, so you have a place where you can always find five references to the commission you are given as a believer. And here it is in Matthew 28, starting again in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I would call that the formal commission. It's given to the church. It's got a commission to not only reach them, but to teach them and to baptize them. But we find in those five different references that we are given one job to do. We are to be witnesses. I said we went down to Capital Connection previous, and I always enjoyed their effort because it is a soul-winning effort. Very often, you can't talk to any of the senators, but you'll talk to their staff. And they go into each office, and they have a word of prayer with the staff, and they take prayer requests from the staff to ask again, is there anything in your life that we should be praying about? And they have a word of prayer with the staff, with the senators, if possible, and again, they take prayer requests, and their purpose is not to change them senators, except to change them with the rejuvenation in the Lord Jesus Christ, to get them the gospel, to get their staff the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the gospel that changes people. And again, notice here that we have in Joshua a charge. Joshua is given one job to do, and God gives him this charge. And so the application is, hey, you've been given one job to do, and we're to take the charge given to Joshua here and see how well it applies to our one job to do. I didn't number my notes, and I've mixed them all up, so let's go back to the beginning. 4, 5, 6. So we looked at the commission. We looked at it backwards. I usually look at it forward through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. This time we looked at it backwards. And notice again that it all still says the same thing, that we are charged to tell someone else that you're different. And think about that and make that again a main point. That's the only job we're given as believers to do. We're given a job to do. And that is to be witnesses. Listen, Good Samaritan Baptist Church is given a job to do. And that job is to preach the gospel to every creature. That job is to get the gospel out. Everything else that goes on around here is ancillary compared to our main commission. And our commission is to preach the gospel to every creature. Here's a place where believers gather together, and should be a place where we sharpen our soul-winning tools so that we can go out and be better witnesses to do the only job that God has given us to do. Listen, I sent you down to the chicken coop to do one job. Make sure you do your one job with great care, and we've been given that. Let's go ahead and look now and some of the promises that was given. We got six charges given to Joshua. But first we got three promises. Let's walk through those three promises real quickly. Promise number one, walk in the land. If you'll walk there, I will give it to you. Okay, wow, that's a tremendous passage. I could go off on a tangent here because of all the Hamas and all the other terrorists are doing, trying to take the land from the river, Jordan River, to the sea, and to utterly annihilate Israel. And that's begun the popular cry on campuses, for crying out loud, to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And so again, notice here that we've got a promise that, hey, they are not occupiers of Palestinian land. That is their land. God said so. God gave it to them. Make no mistake. That's going to be the end result. God said so. Walk in the land. If you'll walk there, I will give it to you. Second promise. No man shall stand before you. I like that, okay? Verse 5 again says that, hey, there's going to be opposition, but no man will be able to stand against you. Think about that for preaching the gospel to every creature. When you go in the power of God, no man can stand again against the gospel that we're preaching. Number three, I will be with you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. He's got three parts of that. Number one, I'll be with you. Number two, I'll not fail thee. Number three, I'll not forsake thee. Notice the T-H-E-E here. This is not a y'all promise. This is a to you promise. This is talking to Joshua here. He says, hey, never mind all the rest of the people. I'm going to be with thee. with you. I'll go with you. I'll stay with you. I will not fail you. And I keep using yous instead of the these there again. So it's a singular is what I'm trying to point out. And so we have those three promises. Let's look at the six charges again. We read them again a couple times in there. Notice again, the first one is be strong. Be strong, verse 6. Be strong, verse 7. Be strong, verse 9. Haven't I commanded you to be strong? Notice again that it takes a little strength. It takes a little strength to do the commission that I just read, that we again would tell others about Christ. That people you're going to bump into this week need to hear the gospel, and they need to hear it from you. That we need to be witnesses as we're commissioned. We need to tell others. We need to preach a little bit. And to preach again, that's where you put the ball in someone else's court. You can teach and lay out a whole bunch of things that said, oh, isn't this interesting? But when you preach again, you're pushing them to make a decision. That a decision needs to be made on their part. They need to take some action on their part. And that's what preaching is. And so notice here again that we're told to be witnesses. We're told to preach the gospel. And here it's going to take strength if you're going to do that. Strength is a mindset. To be resolute, to purpose that you're going to do it no matter what. Be strong. Second charge here is to be courageous. You can be strong, but not moved. Again, to be courageous, you got to step out. You got to take some action. And so there's movement involved with the courageous, being courageous. You could be strong and say, I need to tell that person about Christ. But boy, you need to put some motion to it. You need to take a step toward them. You need to open the conversation. You need to move it again so that you can be a witness. And that's where it takes a little courage sometimes to step out. And so be courageous. That involves movement, not cowering. God here, I can picture God as a general here to Joshua. He shows up just that. In a couple chapters here. But when God says move, move. When God says move, you should move. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I don't think it's just me because I've heard a couple other people mention it. That sometimes I'll look at somebody and God will say to me, now it's not an audible voice, but God will kick me a little bit and says, you should witness to that person. And I say, no, I ain't going over there. I'm a coward, okay? That's what we're saying when we say that. When God calls upon you to move, let's move again. He'll take care of it. He's with us. He'll not fail us. To be courageous means, again, to put it in action. Be strong, be courageous. Charge number three, I like this one. And that's the verse that we memorize. Notice it begins in verse 4. Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest, watch this, observe to do according to all of the law. That thou mayest observe to do according to the law. Obey the word. And so this is broken into four parts here. Number one, observe the word, to do the word. And we read the verse, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That means it's always going to be in your mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and then thou shalt find good success. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. I don't think I got them all in the right order, but I got them all in there all right. And so notice again that we've given this promise here that goes with this command to meditate in the law, to keep it before us, to keep it in our mouth. I think the verse before it says, don't turn to the left hand. Yeah, verse 7, it says this, have not I commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. I got written in the margin of my Bible, wishy-washy. I don't know where that came from. I think it probably came from the invention of an automatic washing machine, okay? Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be, again, all over the place. The Bible says it better in Ephesians, where it says, not driven by the wind to and fro to every wind of doctrine. That we, again, have a steadfastness in our life and a purpose in our life. I'm preaching to me here, probably more so even to y'all. But again, we need to have this, again, that we're going to do this. We're going to observe this law, this commandment, that we preach the gospel to every creature. And so we're to have the book of the law before us. It's important. We're to do the law. We're to meditate therein day and night. We're not to turn to the left nor to the right, nor be a wishy-washy. And the last great connection in this one is to observe it all. Don't leave any of it out. I've always been appalled at how many Christians have never read their Bible all the way through. Even after that, I'm Paul, to how many Christians have never read the Old Testament. Listen, we're to rightly divide the whole book, and we're to read the whole book, and we're to observe the whole law, and have a good handle on these things. And so again, that we are to again keep the Word of God, number three, observe the Word. It's important. It's the most important thing in a Christian's life is the Word of God. Not the Word of God that you get from a TV preacher. Let's move on. Number six. How'd we get to number six? Three. Oh, number four. There we go. I slipped the page. Do not be afraid. Verse 9. Look at verse 9 with me again. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid. Be not afraid. Those times when God said, you should go over to witness to that person, I said, no, I ain't going to do it. It's because I was afraid. Because I was concerned. Well, I talked to them before, and I'm concerned about what they might say. I said, this is going to be awkward again. And so we do that when we're afraid. And here's the command, be not afraid. Noah Webster says it's impressed with fear or apprehension. And so be not afraid. Secondly, it says, number five, be not dismayed. Again, Noah Webster says to be disheartened. Deprived of courage. And so notice again that disheartened again is the opposite. Or dismayed is the opposite of having courage. We get dismayed and thought, well, it won't do any good. And so there's lots of reasons that I can come up with anyway why I wouldn't talk to somebody about Christ. Even when God kicks me a little bit and says, hey, you should go talk to that person. You should share with them a verse. Practice this way. Every time the phone rings and there's a click before someone starts talking, it's probably a computer. Just recite to them John 3:16, 17 and 18, 36, 5, 24. Just give them every verse you can on salvation and see how long it takes them to hang up. Especially if they're Filipino. Again, I get a bunch of them all the time calling, and I could barely understand their English. And I've got a registered business, RBI, and so I get all kinds of people calling because of my registered business, and we want to get you to live, blah, 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 blah. And so I just started giving them John 3:16. And see how many verses I can get through before they hang up. Practice again. Be not dismayed. And let's be about the Father's business. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid of the world. Let's be obedient. Remember that promise that was given back there on the first page of my notes. That we're given a promise. I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. So when God kicks you and says, you should go talk to that person, even if it's talk to that person again, you should go talk to that person. Notice that God's given you a promise. Hey, if you go, I'll be with you. If you go, I'll not fail you. If you go, again, I'll empower you. And so we need to, again, be about the Father's business. And then the last here is number seven, or number six. I had six charges. Is let's be obedient. Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. Doing exactly as the Lord commands, doing it helplessly. No, that's not it. Doing it immediately. Action is the key. Do it immediately. I forgot the rest of the words of that song, but I still like the song, all right? That obedience is the very best way. Let's be obedient. Observe to do, it says in verse 7 and verse 8. Observe to do. Let's be about the Father's business. Listen, He's only given you one job to do. As Christians this week, let's do that job. Lester Roloff gave a quote down there from Lester in Washington. It said this: do you want to save America? Get America saved. Want to save America? Get America saved. And that's all we're given. We're told to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. We're not going to reform Albany. We're not going to reform Washington, D.C. We're not even going to drain the swamp. Again, our purpose, our job, is you're going to be given one job to do. It's to tell everyone you see this week about the Lord Jesus Christ. If He saved you, you can tell someone else what He did for you. And that's what we've been commissioned to do in those five commissions that I just read. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, are trying to find a way to save America. A lot of people trying to find someone to blame for where America has gone. If it is a Christian's fault, it's because of this delinquency in Christianity, is that we have not been the witnesses that Christ has commanded us to be. That's it. It's not that we've not run for school boards. It's not because we aren't holding public offices. It's not because of all the other reasons I've seen listed in this past month about why America is failing. If it's a Christian's fault, it's a Christian's fault because we have not done our one job that God has given us to do, to be His witnesses. The gospel that blessed America, we're to carry it to every creature. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You we could look into it today. Thank You again for the charge that You gave to Joshua. Father, we'll recognize here publicly and again, Father, that You've only given us one job to do. And that as we as individuals will be Your witnesses, that we corporately as a church body will preach the gospel to every creature, that we again as born-again believers will be ministers of reconciliation so that others can be born again as well. Father, we'll praise You again if You'd empower us. Lord, I just ask after this message that You'd bring somebody by my path this week that needs to hear the gospel message. And perhaps someone that's closest to hell right now and needs to hear of Your saving grace. I pray again that You'd give me an opportunity. And then, Father, that You'd kick me hard enough that I'd take it. And, Father, that I'd open my mouth for the witness. Paul asked again that Thessalonians would keep him in prayer that he could be the witness that he's supposed to be. Father, we come in record right now to pray for each one here this morning under the preaching of Your word. Father, that we could have the unction to be Your witnesses. And that You'd help us with that in this week that we begin this day. And we'll give You all the praise and thank You for Your help. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and we'll dismiss in a song. Appreciate again that we could be here on St. Patrick's Day. Spring is just around the corner. Remember, next week is Palm Sunday. Sunday after that is going to be Easter Sunday. Look for a sunrise service in the morning and a pancakes for before worship, before Sunday school hour here on Easter Sunday. And again, looking for the march here. Man, it's marching by. So let's be His witnesses while we have the chance. It's good to be saved. Praise the Lord. And I'd almost sing, "Go Tell It on the Mountain," but I don't know all the words to that. Let's sing. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday He's coming back. What glory that will be! Wonderful His love to me. Lord, bless you for being in church today. You're dismissed.